Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we'll have a preview of the last episode. Yes, part 6 of 6 of Album 73, 28 Hours. It airs on the radio and online this weekend.
But first, we're talking about this month's club adventure, A Friend in Need. Let's hear a teaser.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Jay has misplaced something very important.
While I was in the middle of an Elvis movie marathon, my baseball card went missing.
Baseball card?
I mean, people start wars over these things.
And he needs Zoe's help.
I'm begging you. I can grovel if you want. I have experience groveling. I could also throw in some fervent beseeching.
Will this odd couple solve the mystery?
Where do we start, oh wise and stunningly beautiful leader?
This is going to be a long day.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
I don't think we're giving too much away to say that this is the second time we're hearing from Jay's dad, Nick Smouse.
Nick is played by actor Clint Howard. Clint is one of those guys that once you've seen him in a movie or TV show, you just keep on seeing him and seeing him.
Let's talk to him about being a child actor, voice actor, and character actor.
Clint, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, it's my pleasure, certainly.
You know, you started your acting career on The Andy Griffith Show, and we've had a number of cast members from Odyssey who were first on that show, including Hal Smith, our very first Mr. Whitaker, who played Otis Campbell.
Parley Bear, voice of Joe Finneman, played Mayor Stoner.
And Howard Morris, voice of Ellis Birch on Odyssey, was, of course, Ernest T. Bass, a character I remember well. So tell us something about working on The Andy Griffith Show that maybe our listeners wouldn't know from watching it.
Well, Andy Griffith was a lot more complicated than Andy Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I really, really admire and appreciated the work and the life of Andy Griffith. He was just a great dude. I got to work with him at the very end of his career, at the end of his life. Worked on a little movie with him. But the family was always, you know, very close. I mean, we didn't, you know, go over to each other's houses for Thanksgiving or anything. But Dad had a wonderful relationship with Andy. So did Ron. So, you know, Andy was I wouldn't say complicated. Complicated is not the right word. He just was... He designed Andy Taylor to be a fairly simplistic right and wrong character.
Yeah.
And if you know what Andy Griffith's arc was in his life, I mean, he grew up poor. He grew up in the South. And in a very, very short period of time, he was standing on a Broadway stage.
Oh, yeah.
And that ascension that Andy Griffith had, it showed that he was, you know, a special man, but it also, you know, it made him somewhat complicated. So, you know, anyway, Andy, I really did. I, like I said before, I admire him. I admired his work. I admire what he stood for and the quality that he had when he set out to take on life.
You know, Clint, when I was a kid, I enjoyed watching you on Gentle Ben, where your co-star was a bear.
Yeah.
What was it like being in your first lead role and working with the animals on that show? From the audience perspective, it looked like it was a lot of fun.
Well, yes. In one regard, it was very much it was fun. You know, working down in Florida, being around all those animals, it certainly was an adventure. But talk about being complicated. Having your co-star be a 650-pound black bear. And I was personally in a really great environment. I was there with my dad, you know, Rance Howard.
Right.
And also the creative people around Gentle Ben were really superior. We have a fellow, Rico Browning, who I love dearly. He was one of the creators of Flipper. And he worked closely with Ivan Tors, and he became a regular director on Gentle Ben, and he directed numerous episodes of Gentle Ben over the 2 years we were on. And Rico was patient and caring and kind. You know, and when you work with animals, you got to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was, you know, I felt, if not protected, I felt very comfortable down there working on Gentle Ben. It was a great way to spend a couple of years of my childhood.
Hmm. So Odyssey isn't your first experience with voiceover, of course. You've done plenty of voices, starting when you played a baby elephant in the original animated Jungle Book movie. So aside from it being 55 years apart, what was different about your experience then to when you were recording for Odyssey?
Now, a quick fact check. I did another voice. I worked in Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
My first experience doing voiceovers for Walt Disney was I played the character of Roo in the original Winnie the Pooh cartoon. Yeah. So then, and then within a year or two, they asked me back, and Walt had designed this beautiful movie Jungle Book to do. But the highlight of it all was while I was in the recording stage doing my dialogue, Walt Disney showed up in the engineer's booth, and I will never, ever forget it. Hmm. It was over here at Walt Disney Studios, and it's in their main scoring stage that I'm sure it's still exactly the same. They have that big piece of glass between the engineers and the people that are doing the recording, and I was there by the grand piano, standing there as they were trying to get a performance out of me. And I saw Walt Disney walk into the engineer's room, and I could tell, I was a Disney baby. My first trip to Disneyland, I was in a stroller. And I tuned into Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color all the time. In fact, that was one consternation that we had. You know, Gentle Ben aired opposite Walt Disney and the Wonderful World of Color when we were on prime time. So I went toe to toe with Walt for a while, but anyway, I saw that Walt Disney walked into the engineer's booth, and I was taken by him. It was amazing. He looked just like Walt Disney, and then 30 seconds later, he stuck his head in the little window where the recording studio door was, and I could see him peek in, and he opened the door. And he walked about two or three steps into the recording stage. He saluted me with a wave, and he said, "You're doing a great job, Clint." And I was absolutely, as a little kid, I was absolutely blown away that Walt Disney took the time to come up and say hi to me.
You and your brother Ron have talked about your growing up years in Hollywood, and even though you were actors, Clint, it seemed very important to your parents that you could still just be kids. How did they encourage your careers while also keeping you grounded and strike that right balance?
Well, I'm not sure encouraging our careers is quite the right way to look at it, although I guess you could say that. Dad wanted us to do well, not for his benefit, but for our benefit. And the balance was, when we were finished working on a set, Dad realized it was a fairly high-pressure thing. We were around adults. We were expected to do adult things, meaning learn our lines and pay attention and concentrate. So when we went home, Dad really allowed us to be kids. We didn't go to acting classes. We didn't go to dance classes. We went and played ball. We went, Little League baseball, Park League basketball, sports, running around with our buddies. These were all things that, our parents, mom and dad really encouraged.
So what advice would you have maybe for kids listening to this podcast who are thinking ahead, who maybe have that acting bug, or maybe it's not acting, it's something else. What advice would you have them as they look ahead in their lives?
Practice. And practice well. It's one thing to practice, but you need to know how to practice, and you need to be around good people.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that's difficult. If you're in an area of the country where, or an area of the world where there's not a lot of actors, well, it's going to be hard to surround yourself with people that really know their craft. It would take schooling. It would, at that point, you need to go somewhere to be around like-minded people, to be around people that love to perform, that love drama, love comedy, love storytelling. But first and foremost, for kids, go ahead and get an education, well-rounded education. Learn about a lot of things. Have a thirst for, be a journalist to the world. You know, ask questions. Even if it's asking questions of the local butcher or asking questions of you know, the local mailman. You know, it's just learn about a lot of things. And I think ultimately then if you do find your way into the entertainment business as a performer, all of that learning will serve you well.
Clint, some people have referred to you as a character actor. I don't know whether you refer to yourself that way, but maybe for the kids out there, you could explain what a character actor is and then whether or not you fit the bill.
Well, I'm proud when people call me a character actor. Listen, anybody who acts is a character.
Yeah.
You know, even somebody who plays a matinee idol, well, they're a character. You know, I mean, a character for me, acting is taking the absolute best parts of me, the most powerful parts of me, and working it into the character. You know, it's so I bring all the qualities that make Clint Howard interesting. I bring him to that character that I'm playing, because I know God gifted me through mom and dad. I have an interesting face. I have a great voice. I have a natural aptitude to have a good chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk. I can express myself. And I think some of that is a learned thing. But then some of it is just genetics. I mean, I have mom's gift of gab, and I think I have dad's inquisitive nature. You know, so I don't know. That's sort of the way I think and the way I operate.
And you've been cast as a rocket scientist on more than one occasion. I love that. And some of our listeners might know you as the flight controller from Apollo 13. So when Dave Arnold was thinking about a father for the character Jay Smouse, you were actually his only choice for the role. So what is it about you as an actor that exudes NASA rocket scientist?
Wow. I don't know. Although I was a child of the Apollo space program. I mean, I had a Saturn V rocket in my room that I put together. I had the lunar limb. I loved the space program, but I never ever saw myself being a scientist. I never saw myself being a flight controller or an astronaut. And maybe it's my sincerity. I don't know. I listen, my chest puffs out a little bit. It's also maybe my acting. The fact that I'm, you know, somebody that I'm not, I can play because I bring Clint Howard to the project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's a good question. Ask him. Ask him why he hired me.
Well, we're glad we got hold of you because you have done a wonderful job in the couple times we've had you playing Jay Smouse's dad. Since you've started working with us, Clint, has anybody else in Hollywood made the connection and said, I know about that program. I know somebody who works on that, or I've worked on it myself.
No, but here in L.A., listen, we're all pretty jaded here in L.A. We're all pretty self-absorbed. I don't think too many people are talking about you guys.
That's a legitimate answer.
It is.
But let me go back to a question you asked earlier, or the very first thing when you talked about the Andy Griffith Show. Hal Smith, I was in love with. I thought Hal Smith was the funniest guy when I was little, and I don't really have memories of this. I just know I have memories that I liked him. And one reason why I liked Hal Smith is not only was he Otis on the Andy Griffith Show, he was also the International House of Pancakes pancake man.
Mm. I didn't know that.
And yes, there was actually one year he had a little syndicated show in the they aired it in the LA area where it was like a little kid's morning show where he played the Pancake Man, and he would make personal appearances around the various International House of Pancakes when they first opened.
Huh.
I remember a couple of times me being really excited because on some Sunday morning we were going to go to an International House of Pancakes and see Hal Smith because. you know, Mom and Dad were always very friendly with people on the set and stuff. And it was, the Andy Griffith Show was kind of a big family. And, you know, we went out to support Hal Smith, and it was sure fun. And I love pancakes.
Who doesn't? Honestly, that's such a great story. I love that. There's a phrase in the entertainment world, acting is reacting. So how did that apply to the scene in this episode where you were acting with Whit Hertford and Natalie Lander?
Well, it is reacting. It's also, it's listening. It's, you know, there's, acting is very simple. It's every person, every human being has a motive. Every human being is always behaving off of motive. Why am I, why is an actor, why is a character doing something? And early on, I learned from Dad, when the earliest memories I have of acting is a simple little test. Know where your character has been, know what he wants to do, and know where he's going, where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
Those are simple things, and I can apply that to an animated show where all I'm doing is you know, using my voice. Also, you got to understand, it's a different discipline. Using your voice and not being able to use your body is, it's just different. And, you know, I'm a pretty expressive person with my body, and I just need to, you know, I got to understand that, well, in an animated thing, people aren't getting that. My body is being created for me. I just have to work with my voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find it really interesting. It's fun. And also another thing, too, it's a job. You know, acting is still a job. I enjoy doing it. There's a lot of times I love doing it. But I do enjoy it as a career. But it's a job. I gave up my amateur status a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
You know, I don't play in amateur golf tournaments anymore. You know, I mean, I am a golfer. I play in amateur golf tournaments, but professionally as an actor, no, I get paid. And when somebody is going to give me money, I love gainful employment, you know, and the idea that I'm getting employment by coming here and playing around and saying and doing dialogue and having conversations kind of with people and getting paid for it, it's a pretty sweet deal.
Well, that being the case, in the work that you've done, the jobs that you've had, is there a character that you've played that you might like to bring back and explore in a sequel or a different context?
Boy, that's a really good question. You know, it would actually be kind of interesting to see what Mark Wedlow from Gentle Ben did with his life and how he grew up. Because anybody who grows up with a bear,
yeah,
you know, you got to think, is this what's going to happen to this dude when he gets older? Be kind of interesting to see Mark Wedlow as a, you know, as a 60-year-old man.
Oh, I love it. Well, Clint, it's been such an honor to talk with you and so much fun. So, again, thank you for your time today and for being part of the Odyssey family.
Okay, bye-bye.
You can hear Clint in A Friend in Need on The Club right now.
And if you go back a few seasons, you can also hear his first appearance in the multi-part New Zealand adventure titled There and Back Again.
Now, before we go, we can't forget to preview the finale of 28 Hours. It's titled Final Minutes, and it's a doozy.
Here's a preview of about 30 seconds of those final minutes.
On the next adventure in Odyssey...
It's our last chance.
Just do what you have to do.
As the longest day nears its end, another crisis is just beginning.
Code Black at Odyssey Memorial Hospital.
Jillian and Winter trying to defuse the bomb right now.
Is there a way to disable it?
I don't know.
How's Jason?
If we move him, he dies.
And if you stay here, you all die.
Don't miss the exciting conclusion of this explosive adventure in Odyssey.
Make sure you listen to Album 73 soon, because we're going to start talking about the stories here on the podcast. You can listen to the last episode on the radio and online this weekend.
You can hear all six parts and a bonus feature about Officer Burke in The Club right now.
Or you can purchase the shows on CD or download. All of that is on our website at adventuresinodyssey.com.
And if you have questions about this album, and there have to be a lot of them considering all that's happened, give us a call on our toll-free comment line at 1-855-784-WIT. Always make sure you have your parents' permission before you call.
We'll try to answer as many questions as we can on future podcasts. We'll be hearing from some of the actors, the writer and director, the sound designer, and more in future episodes.
But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.